We'd like to invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church this Sunday for worship. We are committed to preach through the Word of God. We are committed to Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Again, those worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
A time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. What you are about to hear is part two of a message that we started yesterday, a sermon on how to die well from Genesis chapter 50. It's a challenging subject when we consider the subject of death, the reality of death, what we're all going to face at some point, maybe sooner than later. But the Bible has not left us without an answer. It gives us hope. And our distinctive Christian faith, being distinctively Christian in this world, will produce in us and demonstrate for unbelievers a certain view about life and about death that demonstrates hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're studying today on Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, or you can call us at 888-504-8805. Again, 888-504-8805. We are a listener-supported program. Do please remember us in your prayers and your financial giving. All of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. And if it has been a blessing to you, do please help us to make it a blessing for somebody else. Now, here's the program, part two of a sermon on how to die well from Genesis chapter 50.
I was struck a couple Sunday nights ago by something that our Belgic said about sin. On original sin, listen to this. God doesn't impute sin to his children to condemnation. But by his grace and mercy is he forgives them. Not that they should rest securely in sin, here it is. But that a sense of this corruption should make believers often to sigh. Sigh. Desiring to be delivered from this body of death. What a great statement. You realize that the sighs in this life, the sorrows in this life, are God's way of training and making us long for the Lord's ultimate deliverance and salvation. This is what he's doing. And you know, it's at these moments that grace is given more abundantly than you ever would imagine, as the Spirit, when you're groaning, intercedes with groanings for you that cannot be uttered and calls out to your God for grace and aid and help as he trains you. When we're always living to overcome that, we miss what God is intended, which when he says our sufferings are but for a moment, but they're working something. They're working in us a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. One of God's workings through sickness, one of God's workings through hardship and affliction, is to produce the sigh that you just heard in the middle of Dan. I've waited, and I want it. We carry in this life the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us to that. And when he sees fit to, having sufficiently trained us in righteousness, when he sees fit to finish the work that he began, he then ends it for us. And don't you want it that way? Don't you want it that way? He's working. And that's where you see this bright spotlight put right here. Look what I did in this man who was such a rebel. Look what I did in this man at the end of his life, and you get this kind of response. That's grace. That's God's working. He He's not trying to anymore take things his way. He's not trying anymore to do it his way. Here he is, not pressing the hand of God, stealing the birthright, stealing things, now pinned to his bed, trusting in the Lord, waiting on the Lord's for his salvation, and that is the most beautiful place to be. A pilgrim who is wanting and longing for everything God promised. William Perkins wrote a book on how to die well. And we don't have a lot of books that I don't think that would sell well today. But a book on how to die well. Listen to what he says. The day of death surpasses the day of your birth. Your birthday is an entrance into all woe and misery. Your death day is an entrance into eternal life. Blessed is the day of death, since it brings a freedom from all sin. Boy, don't you want that looking at this world, looking at your hearts? The corrupt nature is abolished, sanctification's accomplished. So says Perkins, there is a disposition all of us should have as Christians toward death. Three things he says. First, die in faith. That means in the time of death, with all your heart, rely completely on God's special love and favor and mercy in Christ as he has told you about your whole life in his word. I've waited. Second, he says, die in obedience, meaning when you've come to a place where you have come to a place when you are willing and ready and desire to go out of this world, whenever God calls you without murmur, or complaining when it pleases God to take you. And third, I love this one. Render your souls into the hand of God, the most faithful keeper of all. That's your last duty. He says, this is what Christ did on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Stephen did the same. You do the same. We should always live prepared for this, he says, because you're not guaranteed you'll have this kind of death. But what I love about what Perkins says is, number one, the confidence that the Lord wants us to have as we go into death. Number two, notice that he says here to trust him and to accept where he has you. And three, to know that he is the keeper of your soul. Well, that's what we see here with Jacob. We see that kind of confidence. In verse 20, he then gathers all his sons around his bed. I mean, again, textbook. I am, he says, to be gathered to my people. We've repeatedly come across this phrase in Genesis. It's an intriguing phrase that Genesis has introduced us to over and over. Abraham, when he died, it says that he was gathered to his people. When Isaac died, it says Isaac breathed his last. He died and he was gathered to his people, old and full of days. Jacob says, that's what's now going to happen to me. What's remarkable is he's not talking about the burial. Notice he makes a distinction there between the gathering and the burial. So, in fact, in verse 33, you'll notice when he dies, it says he's immediately gathered to his people before the burial in the land of Canaan would even take place. Sons, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be gathered to my people. As soon as I die, I go to be with Abraham, Isaac, God's people. No purgatory, no soul sleep. I'm there, immediately entering in. I go there. That's awesome. God put a ticker in your chest to tell you once that stops, it's over. I've always been amazed at that. That thing ticks. It's going to happen. Jacob enters in to glory. I can't imagine after this long struggle of being sick and waiting, all of a sudden when you enter, your soul immediately there is with the spirit of just men, says Hebrews, made perfect. I wish I could describe that. I wish I could fully capture it for you. You ever looked at believers' bodies? I think one of the things that's been hard as a pastor, seminary never trained me for this. Remember the first time I walked into emergency room and a brother died in front of me. And his body was so weak and shriveled. And I thought to myself, you know, when you see that, you look at the body and it's wastes away and it's riddled with cancer, and some of you, by the end of it, your bodies are just going to be nothing. And you already see it going there. And you say, how long? How long, O Lord? Imagine the moment Christ rises up from the throne. Because you see, when Stephen died, that's what he did. He got up and he received him right then and there when he was being stoned. Imagine the moment he gets up from the throne and he says, that's it. That's enough. And all the sorrow in a moment is turned into joy. Isaiah 25, he will swallow up death in victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is the Lord our God. We've waited for him. See it? He will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. What do you see from Jacob at the end? Not a desperate trying like Pharaoh to hold on to this life. Not a bitter hurrying to get this life over so you don't have to suffer. But a response of faith that showed in trial patience and in the affliction that God was still training him, that God loved him. And then what I love about this is how he goes forward and demonstrates this very thing to his children. There's one more thing today I'm going to end with that the text shines down. The text is saying, look at this carefully. He commands his children here. And all the children, you can imagine, are around the bed. And the rest of the section then is about Jacob's desire to go back and have his body carried out of Egypt and put in this deposit in this cave of Machpelah where Abraham was buried. And he says, and I even went in there and I hewed out a section for me. Fascinating. Abraham's there. Sarah's there. Isaac's there. Rebecca's there. Leah's there. Son, you take my body and you put it there. Why did that matter so much? I go through the Old Testament and it's so fascinating that their bodies mattered at death. It wasn't just the shell that we hear today. People call it. Their bodies mattered. Why did it matter? He believed the promises. He believed that when the resurrection happened, all those bodies would get up out of the grave together. That's why. It was faith. All of them wanted to be buried together because they believed that they would inherit the land together as God's people in newly resurrected bodies raised up. So when you die, the spirit goes to be with the Lord, and one day when he comes again, you know what's going to happen. Paul described it in Thessalonians, that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Then the dead in Christ will rise first. They are getting up out of the ground, brand new. And they're going to be reunited with the soul that's with the Lord. And then we who are alive, if you're still here, there is a generation that won't die. Maybe you're it. That'd be really exciting. Brand new. You're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Jacob wants something here. Son, I want you to take my body, and I want you, you don't bury me here. I want you to carry it out. Now, this is curious because in verse 33, it says this. After all his instruction about his body, when Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Right there, he went. Picks up his feet takes his last breath, and immediately his soul's with the Lord. But did you notice the phrase? After he had commanded his sons. When God made his covenant of grace with Abraham, do you remember what he said Abraham would do? I have known Abraham that he may command his children to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that I may bring all that I promised upon him. You see this with the saints throughout the Old Testament. When they got together, and if the Lord gave them the grace to die at a good old age on the bed with the family around, and they gathered their sons, and they would speak to their sons. David gives one of the most moving to Solomon when David is dying, and he commands him, be strong, act like a man. We need to say that today. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him. Psalm 72 was his prayer, asking for the king Solomon. This was always the concern of the godly at death. Listen, that their children would love the Lord and follow. And I think, look at this morning. You know, here's one at birth that the Lord puts his sign on. And Wes says, I want everyone to understand it's the Lord's work to save. It's that care of parents that has to be there all the way to the end for their children. What does Jacob do? Take my body back. Why? Why do you want your body to go back? Joseph sits there and doesn't go out till the Exodus. Why do you want the body back now, Jacob? Well, what you have in chapter 50 is this great period of mourning that takes place. And it was a funeral. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Sometimes I hear messages that act like we can't mourn. Mourn. It's a terrible enemy, but we don't mourn without hope. The Egyptians would do certain things with the body. The Egyptians would take the body, and they were masters at embalming. They had really perfected this art. They would take out the organs. The body was treated with natron, the skin with spices and resin, and then it would be wrapped in linen. And they were masters at this. They even got to the point where they could preserve the hair and the nails, and you could open it up, and it looks like the person. The question is, why did they do that? They were proto-Americans. If you made the body look good, that would determine the quality of your eternity. So in other words, you could perfect the body. That's the evidence of how your eternity is going to go. So they kept it pristine and perfect and beautiful. Everyone trying to, you know, surgery it up today to keep it perfect. They just did that after death. Can you imagine? So they did this. Death-defying culture. Joseph has one purpose. We're taking Dad's body back. I still haven't answered why. They embalm him. So here's the imagery. They leave Egypt. Joseph's at the front. The elders, the wise men, the elite of Egypt. The family's in the middle. And then all the Egyptian chariots and horses are behind. He goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you can go. That's the path. Here's what's interesting this morning to close this. The normal road to Canaan from Egypt was to go up the Mediterranean and cut over inland. That's the easy, quick way. That's the quick way to go. But I want everyone to look at verse 10. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a very great and grievous lamentation. They made mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians. Therefore, the place was named Abel Mizraim. It is beyond the Jordan. Thus his sons did for him as he had commanded. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan, buried him in the cave of the field at Machpelah. Why all the detail? Why all the detail? Here's why. The body of Jacob was carried around the eastern side of the Dead Sea. No logical way to go that way. How did they enter the promised land? Through the Jordan. The body was carried through the Jordan. It's the only way. It's dress rehearsal for the future. This is the path Israel would go in the future back to the promised land. Jacob gives all these specific instructions. Why did he do that? Because he commanded his sons. He commanded his own exodus out of Egypt, his body. For what reason? It was for his sons and for him, but it was for his sons. It was a testimony of faith. Why did he do it? He's encouraging them. God will do the same for you. How long would they wait? I've waited for the salvation of the Lord. 400 years in that dump. Egypt was, when it compares to the promised land. And they could look back at their father and they could see his struggle. And they could see that he waited. And that he waited on the salvation of the Lord. And their bringing of his body back would always be a sign to them. The very route they would go. Joseph was so moved by this, Hebrews says, that at the very end, he says, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites, this is next week, gave directions concerning his bones. My bones go back the same route. In other words, he commanded his children to the same faith that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had, and he assured them, as I was in Egypt and I came out, God will bring you out. God will give you the land. God will be faithful to his promises. So William Perkins says this, there's one other duty you have. Set your household in order before you die. Fathers, concerning the souls of your children, that you charge them, he says, to learn, to believe in the salvation of the Lord that he's told us about in his word, to know the Lord and to worship him. He says, you charge your children to love and worship the Lord. When you do that, you greatly honor the Lord in dying as well as living. And you see, Jacob leaves an abiding testimony of his faith to them, that God was faithful, that he'll be faithful to us in all of the struggles that you're going through and all of the waiting upon him. These guys finished the race by faith and his grace. You will finish the race. He took his body, he placed it in the tomb. My kids asked me the other day at devotions, Dad, is that still sitting over there? Are their bodies still sitting over there? I said, yep. And they're going to rise up. The beauty is you don't sit on their side of the cross. You sit on this side of the cross, and God did send his son. And you know what the beauty is? He didn't leave him in the tomb. God raised him up. And today we celebrate he's risen and that he's conquered death for you. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? Thanks be to God, he gives it to us in Christ. And he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are living right now. And when you die, having faith in Christ, you are gathered to all of God's people. Imagine that. You're going to be made perfect. And he's going to come again, and he's going to pull out your body to finally complete it. And it's going to all be made new in the twinkling of an eye. And you'll forever go in a place where righteousness dwells, and there's no more of this misery. You can't want this misery. So let goods and kindreds go, as Luther said, this mortal life also. Are you prepared for death? What testimony are you leaving to your children? What does your life display about what you believe? Many will come from the east and the west, and I say, and will sit down in the kingdom with who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you don't want to be cast out. And so that's why we plead, believe. And coming with believing hearts, as you are in affliction, know that the Lord has not abandoned you. In whatever state you are, may we give testimony to our children and those around us of the certainty of what we believe, of where we're going, and the wonderful things the Lord has done for us in forgiving us all of our sins. Let's praise him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your faithfulness and your truth and your salvation. And we ask, O Lord, that we would, as we go forward in this life, that in whatever way you call us to go through in death, you'll give us the grace to die well like Jacob. We pray that from the heart this morning. That we would be a good witness to our children and command our children. That they would know you. That they would love you. And we think of Annika this morning. A sign put on her. We pray for her especially that she would love you and know you all of her days. And give Wes and Jody that kind of strength as we saw, and all of us together, that we would value what you value and have faith in your promises and believe, leading us somewhere much better than this, that you've prepared a home and a city for all who love you. And there will be no more sorrow or sin or death. There, righteousness shall dwell forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for accomplishing that in your very body. In Jesus' name.
Well, we hope this was a blessing to you today on Abounding Grace. You're welcome to download these at the website at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. You can call us at 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. Do please keep us in mind as we are approaching the end of the year in your financial giving. All of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and to be a blessing in giving this gospel out to major regions in the West here in the U.S. We air in the Pacific Northwest, in Canada, in the lower mainland of B.C., reaches Central California and Southern. And so what an opportunity the Lord has given us to get out the gospel, the good news, and God's answer to us. He hasn't left us in this misery. He's given us an answer in His Son. We want the world to know that. Thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace. May this gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all of its glory, continue to richly bless you. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. You are welcome to join us for worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. The web address is escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. Address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.